Today we're going to start off reading out of Daniel, the book of Daniel, chapter 6, verse 10. Give you a moment just to turn there. We brought this up in the fellowship yesterday. There is, and I'm not negating the value of using a Bible on your phone. It's very valuable, but there is something so much more powerful when you're holding this book physically and you're highlighting and you've got all these notes. We had a gentleman at the fellowship yesterday. What's his name? Ray? Did I get Ray? Yeah. Ray, he's almost 80 years old, showed us his Bible of it's got duct tape all over it, and you know he wrote a bunch of notes to himself. Ray, look right here. You know, this is for you. You know, these things are very valuable. And so if you don't have a physical Bible, I'd encourage you to spend the $5-$10 that you can get something inexpensive. Just get something that you can hold and move. And it's very powerful, especially when you're reading at home and your kids see you reading your Bible. Because Adam brought this up a while ago. If the kids, I'm getting off on a rabbit trail here, but if your kids see you on your phone, they don't know that you're reading the Word of God. They don't know that. They see you just doing something on your phone. When you pick this up, that's powerful. They see the example of what that is. So I encourage you to do that. We're going to read out of verse 10, or starting at verse 10, sorry, out of chapter 6. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. So they answered and said before the king that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition 3 times a day. And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed. So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of the lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also, his sleep went away from him. Oh, I know a little bit about that. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, highlight that, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they may not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatsoever was found on him because he believed in his God. Let's pray for a moment. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you it brings life and revelation into our lives, that you bring encouragement and correction. And God, today I pray that you would just speak to us through your word, Lord, that you would align my own thoughts with your thoughts, God. This wouldn't be my word, Lord, it'd be your word. Lord, just use me as a vessel today to preach this word, Father, and give us listening ears and comprehension today, I pray. Holy Spirit, we invite you right now. I give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So Daniel knew that his prayer, we started there in verse 10. He knew that the writing was signed, but he went home anyways. And in his upper room with his windows open. So he wasn't trying to do this in secrecy. He was being open about his worship, even though he knew it would face certain death. And he remained steadfast in that even still. And you don't have to look very hard to find more examples of this type of steadfast faith, unwavering, unshakable faith, of people who put their foundations in the Lord. You can look at Gideon, even though he tested the Lord, and he feared greatly when that call came upon his life. He led a troop of 300 to face these Midians. 300, because he obeyed the Lord. Look at David against his many enemies. And looking back to Daniel, who stood for the one true God, even while the decrees and mandates were made that no man could worship outside of what the king decrees, Daniel knew it was better to fear the Lord than to fear man. So even in the face of lions, Daniel did not waver in his convictions. And that is a relationship with God that is built on a sure foundation. Fear, folks, fear can be a paralyzing thought in our faith. When we give in to fear and lies of the enemy, we give up on the word of God. Here's why I say that, because the word of God says the Lord fights your battles. We just said that last week. The word of God says, though you may suffer a little while, he will perfect, establish, and strengthen you. Says he has formed us and he has redeemed us. We are his. That is the word. And as an earthly father cares deeply for his child, does not your heavenly father care even more for you today? Daniel was faithful in the face of this certain death. God performed a great miracle even just shortly before. We can read in just a few chapters before about the fiery furnace. We can read about this faithfulness of God. David was not a great warrior, yet he put his trust in the Lord and faced great warriors. See, David was just a shepherd, right? And yet he looked at a giant. When Saul saw this Philistine that was a giant, he feared, but yet David stood up to the task because he knew that his God was with him. David was obedient. So these are just examples, folks. I'm giving you a few examples of this obedience of people who had their foundation shored up in the word of God. Okay? They have powerful testimonies that we see here. And I believe God honors our obedience to his word in our lives. But let me caution you something. Being obedient to God does not give us control over the situation. Obedience does not give you control. God requires actions of faith, which often mean we don't get to lay out the plan when we are obedient to the word. See, fear hates that. When you give in to fear, you want to go ahead and plan everything out for the situation. When we're in fear, we try to seek the methods that we can use to correct these things. But someone who's obedient and faithful and their foundation is sure on the word of God knows that out of my obedience, I might not have control over the situation, but I trust that my God fights my battles anyways. That goes against a lot of my own mentality, my own. I've told you this. I am a planner. I like to see things through from the beginning to the end and have it all thought out. And so when the waves come and the fear comes, it's against my nature to just wholly trust in God. So that's what I say. Sometimes that obedience to God not sometimes. Obedience never means that we get control, okay? We can't say, okay, God, well, I did what you said, so do this. That's not how it works, okay? We need to build our faith on the rock so that when the wind and the waves crash, your house will stand. Turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 7. And this is... Today, our subject today is building our faith on the rock. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. It says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So hearing the teachings of Jesus and doing them are two separate things, but we cannot just be hearers, we have to be doers. The example we just spoke about in Daniel, he knew the word. If he was not a doer, God would not have been faithful in his life. So you don't act on what you hear, you act on what is in your heart often. What you've committed to your heart. Faith is an act. It's not just a feeling that we try to stir up. We don't try to stir up faith. Sometimes you have to act when you don't have that feeling. Do you know what I'm saying today? Sometimes, man, I'm having a hard time with my faith in this situation, but I'm going to act anyways. I'm going to be obedient to the word of God. And so Jesus is saying, whoever hears these things and does these things is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. So knowing the word of God and doing them creates a sure foundation for your life. Houses are not destroyed in the first few minutes of the wind in a hurricane. How many know this? The devastation comes from the constant bands of rain, constant flooding, and it soaks up everything from the roots of the trees, the foundation of your house, the shingles on your roof. It soaks and saturates, and it becomes compromised from the flooding. And that wind, when it comes through, will find the weaknesses. It will find the weaknesses in the areas that you can never imagine. I never knew that that tree was so compromised, yet it fell. Because its roots weren't deep. This is how I believe the enemy attacks our faith. He attacks you flood after flood. It's not just one thing that blows most people over. It's the constant band of lies, bad news, unfulfilled expectation, illness, broken relationships. And when the wind comes and your house is not built on the rock, it blows away. But those who build their houses on the rock know the word of God and are not moved by what they hear. They are not moved by what they see. They are moved by the word, and they are moved by what they know is sure in God. Their house is built on the rock. Psalm 62, verse 1 out of the Amplified Version says, for God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my defense and my strong tower. I will not be shaken or disheartened. Don't build your house on your own knowledge. Don't build your house on your own expectation. Build your house on this foundation of the Word of God. Build your family on the cornerstone that is Jesus Christ. You know, you can't just build your house in one day unless you're really good. You remember that show, what was it? The Makeover show. What was that, a few years ago? Whatever, Extreme Home Makeovers, yeah. I don't know why I'm talking about it, but they did a lot of work in one day, but it's not very practical. How many homeowners know that your projects never feel like they're over with in your house? Like, okay, well, I fixed the plumbing issue, and now everything's soaked from all the water. And then I got to repaint now because that was broken. And now this is messed up. And that, you know, it's a never-ending project. Whether it's improvements or maintenance, you feel like it never ends. I know it. You have to invest in your home. You have to care for it. You have to put in time, or it will slowly fall apart over time. If you want your spiritual house to be built on the rock, you take time and give attention to the Lord daily. Pray, study, serve. Put your faith into action. That's what I said earlier. Sometimes it feels like you're just trying to stir up faith and you're still not feeling very strong in this situation. You got to just act. Faith is an action. And don't let your faith sit crumbling and idle as the foundation begins to crack and crumble. So the question I have for you, do you find your peace and gladness in the Lord? Whom is your refuge? Turn with me to Psalm 46. Verse 1. Lord, help me today. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just as the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth was melted. Do you find your peace and gladness in the Lord, where is a sure foundation, a strength, a strong tower, a mighty fortress? Or are you putting your hopes and faith into what you can accomplish your own self? Is your house built on the rock, or is it built on sinking sand today? Are you looking to the alternatives that you can accomplish yourself? Fear directs those thoughts often to accomplish something in your own power. But we need to stand on the rock. That's why I gave you the example of Daniel. How easy would it be just to waver? This decree is out there. He knew what the punishment would be. Yet he was faithful in his worship and his prayer still, to the fact where he opened the windows. He made it public. He didn't hide behind it, because his foundation was in the Lord. Those who build their house, their spiritual house on the rock, know that if I might lose my job, even when my faith is shaken, even when I feel alone, I turn to the rock on which I stand. Recently, there were two relatively high profile Christian figures who denounced their faith. If you're not familiar, we can talk about it after service. So the question that I thought to myself, and I answered pretty quickly, it's pretty easy to know. Do you think these high-profile Christians, and they were in the limelight, they did a lot of things and wrote a lot of music or wrote books, gained a lot of popularity, professed with their mouths that Jesus was Lord, but do you think that their faith was built on the rock? It's a pretty easy answer. Because I have never once met someone walk away from their faith who was rooted in the word of God daily. They talked with them constantly, and they feared the Lord and were filled with the Holy Spirit. How do you think that the enemy tries to snuff out God's work? He tries to do it in your minds. He tries to do it in our minds. The enemy wants to own our thoughts. The thoughts of fear can be paralyzing in your faith. He is a great distractor and the great deceiver. And we leave ourselves vulnerable as the rains come and the winds come. We leave ourselves vulnerable if we don't make prayer, supplication, and study, fellowship, and assembly with one another. If we don't make that our priority, it needs to be the priority of your spiritual house individually. It needs to be the priority of your family. So that way, when the wind and the waves and everything's crashing around you, your house will not fall. The ones who build on the sinking sand when times of suffering come, it overwhelms. And so this is where I believe the great apostasy stems from in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to read out of that. And I'm going to close shortly. And it reads, "Now, brethren," verse 1, "concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Telling of a great falling away here, a turning away from God, that men will believe that they are the God over their own lives. What need is there for the one true God? Everything's just fine. Folks, I don't know when the end times will be. I don't know when the second coming will be. But I can tell you right now, can you not sense this departure that is spoken about here? It says, "Unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin revealed." I know it's not exactly most comforting thought. But this is something I want to instill into us as a congregation, that if your house is not built on the foundation, it will crumble. It will crumble. Jesus didn't say it might. He said, if you hear these things and you don't do them, you don't act them out in your life, your house will be like that built on sinking sand. And so we see it. We saw a couple high-profile figures who say, "I don't believe there's a God anymore," and gained the popularity from the words that they were able to speak, but didn't have their relationship sure, didn't have the foundation of God rooted in their lives. So this is where I believe we have to become like Daniel. You may be surrounded by lions, by people who seek to bring you down, people who detest God, detest those beliefs that we hold to. How many know that is the culture and society that we live in right now? This is not something we're speaking about in the future. But taking on the spirit of Daniel and saying, "I will not be silent. I will not sit down, because the Lord is my rock and my refuge, whom I trust in everything. I will not fear the words that are spoken against me. I will not fear the waves and the wind all around me. I will worship my God still, and I won't stand idle. Look to the Lord today, who is your strength. He is your portion, and he is your rock. Hallelujah. So today I challenge you to search for the areas in your lives where the foundation feels like it's crumbling. You feel like, I don't feel very strong in this area. So you need to put attention to that. Seek the Lord about those areas. And ensure that the Lord is your foundation and your family and your life. Because there are waves and winds all around you. And so it's about building up your faith, putting your faith into action, and standing on the word, saying, I will not be idle, I will not sit quiet, I will stand for my God, and he fights my battles. He is with me. He is my redeemer, my refuge and strength, and ever-present help in time of trouble. Amen. Well, I'm going to pray as we close. Lord God, I just thank you, Father, for your word. I thank you that you are always available to us and that you lay down a foundation that can never be shaken. It can never be moved. Lord, your word stands forever. You are everything to us, God. And I pray, Father, in the areas that we feel like we're weak, Lord, I pray that you would just bring strength today. You would bring those things to our focus and our attention today, I pray. Lord, if there is areas that we did not trust you, Father, I pray that, Lord, you would reveal that to us, God. You would build up faith, build up strength in our lives. Lord, I just thank you for, Lord, that time where we could just come before you in our weakness and you just make us strong. I give you praise, Lord God. I give you thanks that you're shoring up our foundations, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you. I thank God for you. Be in prayer for one another. Be in prayer for this church. I'm believing God for many great things in this house and in your life. Praise God. Have a great weekend. Have a great week. Be blessed.